Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is called The Washington Faction. I got the name for this because when you talk about James Madison's Federalist 10, he talks about, because the prevailing wisdom at the time was that you could only have a popular government in a small area because the people could get a hold of the representatives and they could more easily run for office. And so people thought you can't have a popular government in a huge area because people couldn't communicate with their people and they'd be too far removed. And so Madison says he was looking at what he thought was bad government in the states after the Revolutionary War, when the states were just kind of doing whatever they wanted. And you have Shays' Rebellion and you have other things where the states, and his big observation was that the states were controlled by factions. And the smaller the state, or the smaller the number of people, the easier it is for a small faction to take control. And so he saw that going on, and he thought, well, what's a remedy for that? And his big idea, at least in Federalist 10, is that in a big country with a lot of different kinds of people, that no single faction can take control. And of course, I don't know for sure when he came up with that idea. If it was after I bet he came up with it. I'm pretty sure he came up with it before the convention, because before the convention, he wanted to create a national government. He wanted to create a national government that could kind of control the states. That was in his original Virginia plan. And so he wanted to be able to cancel state laws in extreme circumstances like Shays' Rebellion, have the federal government come in and take control of a state, which was a lot of people thought that was extreme in the smaller, right, in the states that didn't want a really strong national government. This is kind of a huge idea. So anyway, this is where the idea in American government of factions comes in. And Madison meant a faction. When he said faction, a lot of people today say, oh, Federalist 10 is just about political parties. And sure, but he said a faction is any group that wants what's best for it, not what's best for the country. So if those two things are at odds, those people will pick their faction over the country. And do political parties do that? For sure. But is that all he was talking about? Probably not. But in reality, probably the only groups that really take control are political parties. So maybe he was just talking about political parties. But I don't know why he wouldn't just say political parties then. He doesn't even really mention political parties in Federalist 10, if I remember it right. So factions, to his mind, are kind of like the opposite of patriots, right? A patriot is for his country, and someone in a faction doesn't really care about the country. They care about their own interests. My observation now is that we have a faction that controls this country. And I call it the Washington faction. And the Uniparty, whatever you want to call it. The problem with the Uniparty is that it acts like the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are no different. And they are different. But what we have now is groups, at least significant portions of each group in D.C. Because think about it. The Democratic and Republican Party in like Iowa, the state party, is not part of, they're not the same thing. I'm just differentiating because there are people in D.C. who are in each party, and they're part of this faction that's just in D.C. So if you go back to New Mexico, They don't control the Republican Party in New Mexico. That party has its own things in New Mexico. So what I'm trying to say is it's in DC. That government, the people running the government in DC, because we have many governments, right? It's not the only government in the United States. But that government has become its own faction. So, and there are people in both parties that are in that faction. And they're controlling everything at this point, at least national government. I know they're not controlling every state and all that. So I'm differentiating that faction from the parties, because the parties are spread across the country. They have different interests in different states. They're not exactly the same thing, but we are seeing that there are many in our parties that care more about their own interests than they do about the country or the party. So if you call your congressman or your senator and they don't care about you or what you say, they care more about empire and pleasing their donors and keeping their seat in Congress and whatever is going on in DC. That's who I'm talking about. Not the mayor of your town, not the governor of your state. And you see, that's what presidents run into when they go to DC. So that's another proof of this faction, right? People say, oh, DC is not like my home state. Well, yeah, no kidding. It's the capital of the world almost. And so those people go there and they realize, oh, it's a whole different ballgame here. Yeah, because there's a faction there that only cares about itself. And so I just thought of this. It's kind of like Dolan's idea of a breakaway civilization, right? And when he talks about it, he's talking about UFOs and stuff. But this is almost like a breakaway government where they don't care about the rest of the country. They're there, and it's like its own little country inside of our country. And people want to get into it, and they want to stay there and get rich and get favors and become ensconced there, like the turtle, right? Rush Limbaugh used to call him the turtle. Mitch McConnell, right? So these guys just stay there. My own congressman, you call him, call his office. He doesn't care what we think. He couldn't care less what we think. He's been there for 40 years, and he's from Washington. He's not more for where from I'm from. He doesn't care, really. I mean, maybe he cares. I don't know. But I would guess you're in the most corrupt place on earth. Yeah, you're probably corrupt, right? Nobody goes to, like, raves all the time and never tries drugs, right? Oh, I just live with the cartel members. I don't ever do drugs, right? Or I just go to a bar all the time. I never drink. Yeah, right. So if they've been there forever, they're probably corrupt. Come on. So how would Madison react to this? The fact that there's a faction now that's in DC that we don't really control. And Trump has proved this. And they'll blame it on personality, and they'll do that. And look at what they're doing to Matt Gaetz. I mean, whatever you think about Matt Gaetz, he gets up and he says, I want single subject bills. You keep caving into the Democrats, all of this stuff, right? And they're like, he just wants to aggrandize himself. He just wants to make speeches. You really think this is helping him? If he wanted to just be like you guys, he would just cozy up to lobbyists like you guys do. Why is he making all these waves? Now, maybe he's ambitious and whatever. But that's what you guys do. So what they do is they just accuse everybody of being selfish when they're actually trying to point out that there's a faction that controls this country, and it's called the DC faction. And people are starting to realize that. Look at Trump. He won against them. They're trying to destroy him. So I don't know how you fix this. This is kind of turning Federalist 10 on its head. Right? Saying, well, there's all these different people, and if they have input in the government, what about when our input in the government becomes disconnected from us? Now, I think the anti-federalists would have said, yeah, no kidding. Did you really think this wasn't going to happen? Did you really think sending people there would make them righteous and never stab you in the back and not get corrupted? Come on. So a lot of the justification for what they do is that it's making the world better. Right? Now, during the Cold War, okay, that made a little more sense, I guess. Whatever you think of the Cold War, I kind of think it was legitimate. Communism deserved to be contained. And so I think it was legitimate. No, every single thing we did, maybe not, but if you're going to take a stand, I mean, in regular wars, there's plenty of mistakes made, but the overall strategy of containing communism is probably what kept the world free. I just think that's real. But the Cold War's been over for a long time, so what are we still doing? What are we doing in Ukraine? What are we going to do in the Middle East? Ooh, let's bomb Iran. What are you talking about? The Cold War logic doesn't apply anymore. And they haven't invented a new logic to make it make sense for us to go get involved around the world anymore. The Cold War is over. And they used the War on Terror to keep us involved around the world. Okay, we've learned that we can just do that with special forces. We don't need to take over countries and start all these wars. But the DC faction still wants that. Like, who? I don't know what else explains it. You know, people are like, well, Iran's going to attack us. Really? Not with their military. And so when you look at how they respond to things, it's really obvious that there's a faction in DC that only cares about itself. It doesn't really care about us. It doesn't care about the country. They're not patriots. I mean, what kind of patriots start wars all over the place and send other people's kids off to die in the Middle East or wherever just so they can, I don't know, I don't even know what they're achieving. You know, we're going to spread democracy. Yeah, that's not working. That's not our job. That's not why our kids join the military, to go force people to spread democracy. That was just a byproduct of World War I and World War II. That's not a reason to go to war. That's crazy. So we have alliances. All right, alliances that we've inherited from the Cold War. Those matter. I think they make sense to keep those alliances going. But why, what else? What are we doing with Ukraine? There's obviously something else going on there. And look, it's not even hidden. They've admitted it. We want to weaken Russia. What business do we have weakening Russia? It's a sovereign country. It's never attacked us. Leave Russia alone. Well, they're going to help China. Okay, that sucks. That's not in our interest, but maybe we're pushing Russia away from us. Think if after World War II we hadn't, or after the Cold War, we hadn't just kind of kept the Cold War going by expanding NATO, kind of pushing Russia around. We could have brought Russia into Europe. It was such a wasted opportunity. Yeah, Russia's a corrupt country, blah, blah, blah. They're more like us than anyone else. Right? They're more like Europe and the United States than any other country around, naturally. So, why not incorporate them into the system of Europe instead of driving them into the arms of China? It's starting to feel like, go read 1984, how they just keep these wars going and rile everybody up. And we're constantly on the march, right? Think about things people say about Ukraine. And then you hear Colonel McGregor say, yeah, that's all crap. The Ukrainians don't have a prayer. But you turn into the propaganda news and they convince you, oh yeah, everything's going swimmingly. And then it's not. It's kind of obvious that, because think about the things, and you know, if you hear Trump, you just think, oh, mean tweets and he's such an idiot. And look, I get it. I know. He's kind of an idiot. I know. He's annoying. He says stupid things. What did he do while he was president that was so outrageous? Not something he said. Don't give me something he said. Give me something he did that was crazy. Nothing. Nothing. He was excellent, actually, at what he did. You have to, when people bring that, you have to say, well, what did he do that was so bad? Duh, he said that. Shut up. What did he do? And so my point with bringing that up is, he's against this faction because he has common sense. And they're just like, he's corrupt, he's this, he's that. Maybe he is kind of corrupt. Maybe he is kind of shady. So are you guys. You guys are all shady too. And you're not going after your fellow shady people, right? Because they're in the faction. And he's not. He's against the faction. Think about it. Why have the borders been basically open for 40 years? Because the Republicans benefit from cheap labor. And the Democrats benefit from free voters. People who are beholden to them. And let's be honest, I'm sure they use some of them to cheat. Come on, grow up. They cheat. Of course they cheat. And a lot of them just naturally will gravitate towards the Democratic Party. Because the old Republican Party was the country club party. It's changing now. The Republicans, the country club Republicans don't want it to change. But it's turning into the MAGA party. Even if they get rid of Trump, let's say they assassinate Trump. Let's say they throw him in prison. I think MAGA will be very demoralized, but MAGA is bigger than Trump. And that's what they don't get. They think it's a cult. No, it's a movement. It's not going away. It's not like whatever movement followed Jesse Ventura. No, it's not going away. So that's why I'm not against illegal immigrants. I'm against illegal immigration. Right? Because there's plenty of people who come here who are good people. I mean, think if we had 20 million instead of 20 million Mexicans, think if we had 20 million Muslims from the Middle East who are radical. Think how bad that would be. But we don't have that. We're really lucky in a weird way. Because I know people like me are always ranting and raving about illegal immigration. And it is a huge problem. And you're allowed to say that without being called a racist. But they're Catholic. They're family oriented. They're a lot like us, actually. Look, the average Mexican is way more like me than the average person from New York City or from San Francisco. I would much rather hang out with a bunch of Mexicans than a bunch of people from Seattle, because I have almost nothing in common with them. Think about what the Republican Party does. What's the main purpose of the Republican Party? To help corporations. That's it. Because if you help corporations, then everybody will be better off and all this crap. And to an extent, that's true. But that's like all they ever run on. And they had people like me convinced that I would be better off if you cut rich people's taxes. And not from 70% to 40%, but from 40% to 20%, and then keep going. They never want to stop, right? So somebody like Trump comes along, and I don't really know what carried interest is, but he said the carried interest provision that somehow people on Wall Street benefit from is like a scam. And he came to DC, he talked about it in his first campaign. He's never talked about it since. I don't really know. I haven't really looked into it. But basically Wall Street told him, yeah, no, you're not getting rid of carried interest. And it's just no. So we need like a Teddy Roosevelt to go say, yeah, this is a scam. We're sick of it. And screw you guys. And that's kind of what Trump is. That's why they hate him so much. Think about your congressman. Think about how long he or she's been there. If they've lived in D.C. for 30 years and they're not like 80, then they've lived in D.C. most of their adult life. They don't care about you. They're from D.C. That's their home state. You know, in Britain, you can, as far as I know, you can run for parliament from anywhere. Like, Winston Churchill didn't even live in the district that he represented. That's what we have now, but they all live in D.C. It's so easy to get residency somewhere. Just buy a house. Big deal. Like Hillary Clinton hadn't lived in New York for, I think she's from there, but she hadn't lived there for 30 years. And then the year after her husband, or the same year her husband leaves the presidency, she becomes a senator from New York City or from New York State. How? Because she's bought a house. It's easy, I guess. You know, in the Constitution, it says they have to have lived there for a certain number of years, but I guess they just get around it. So when you call them and they hear you, they just picture a toothless guy with a pitchfork who doesn't know anything. And then they go talk to all their buddies who actually know everything and how everything runs. And they care more about those people in D.C. than they care about you. And think about this is how they are, the Uniparty, when this came out. I think the first person I ever heard it from was Jack Posobiec. So I don't know if he coined the Uniparty, but it's better than two sides of the same coin, whatever. I think my Washington faction is pretty good too, if I do say so myself. But think about it. If the Democrats did cheat, would the Republicans really care? They hate Trump so much. They care more about what Democrats think of them than what we think about them. Right? Did you watch the interview with Ann Coulter on the PBD podcast? She just sounded like a Democrat. You know, you can tell. They all just sit around at their hoity-toity parties and talk about how stupid we are and how all the Trumpsters are just idiots. And so when their Democratic friends come and talk to them, look, I met this guy who works for my congressman in D.C., and he lives in my state, but he goes to D.C. all the time. He's like an aide. He didn't sound like someone from where I'm from. He sounded like some, he's not from here. This isn't what people here think. They look down on us. They think we're stupid. They don't represent us. They don't vote the way we want them to. They vote the way their buddies want them to, because they're sophisticated. So they're going to play nice with each other. And this is what Rush Limbaugh always said. He was like, I don't ever want to live in D.C. or go to their stupid parties, because then I'll care about them. I'll care about what they think. I'll get sucked in. And that's what they're doing. And they sympathize with them more than they sympathize with us. So we become the enemy. And they're just like, they're in like a sports league where they play each other. And then we're not in there. We're not with them. We're like the fans. Or like Jesse Ventura said, it's like politics is like professional wrestling, because they get up and they scream at each other and all this BS, and then they go have a barbecue later together. And think how screwed up that is. Now, I'm not saying people from different parties shouldn't be nice to each other, but you shouldn't act like you're vehemently opposed to each other and then fake it for our benefit. It's a joke. Ted Cruz and Mike Lee were on Ted Cruz's podcast talking about how great the guy from Nevada, I can't remember his name, the old senator from there. And he said he gave this speech, just ripping on, I think it was Ted Cruz. And then when he left the stage in the Senate, he walked by and winked at him. Like it was all a game. And they admitted this. Because it is all a game to them. We take it so seriously, and it is serious. They know it's a joke. They don't care about us. I mean, they care about us in some way, in maybe in a general way, unless they're super corrupt. But they must just get there and look around and be like, dude, this is a game. This is a joke. Think about when, so maybe I've told you this story before. You watch the inauguration of Biden. There's all these people standing around, not wearing masks, talking to each other, when they all made us wear masks. And Bush was talking to, was it James Clyburn? I don't know. Some congressman, I think from South Carolina, because South Carolina is where Biden won the primary, right? And he said, this guy saved the country. I was like, what? Saved the country from what? Oh, from Trump. Oh, you scumbag. You turncoat. You jerk. Okay, because that guy arranged the compromise between, I guess, the black wing of the party so they would vote for Biden, and then that made Biden win the nomination, and then we got rid of the evil tyrant Trump. And if you ask them, why do you hate Trump so bad? Because he's mean. Because he was mean to Jeb. What did he do that you disagree with so much? So when they win the party nomination, when the rhinos win the party nomination, we fight like crazy for their guy. Because we're actually in it for the substance. To them, it's just a game. To them, it's, we lost the Super Bowl this year. Get you next time. For us, it's a big deal. We're true believers. They're not. It's a game to them. And to Trump, it's not a game. He actually wants to change things. And there's other people who want to change things. And so people will be like, how come you suck up to Trump? Like Ted Cruz. Well, because Ted Cruz realizes, oh, we're here to make a difference. Right? Lindsey Graham was like, other senators laugh at Ted Cruz. Yeah, because he actually wants to change things. He actually cares. He's not just there to be there and to make sure he stays there and to help all his buddies. Lindsey Graham needs to go. Remember how much McCain hated us? Because we would be mean to his Democrat friends. He was uniparty. He's like this stupid eye patch guy. What a clown and disappointment that guy has become. He doesn't care about the people of his district. So I've kind of had it. After this thing with when we kicked out McCarthy and then they're sabotaging Jim Jordan. Just because they're angry about it. The Republican Party maybe is over. I don't know. I don't know. The rhinos don't want it to go. And if Trump wins the nomination and he makes it to the election without getting assassinated or arrested, they're not going to help him win. If the Democrats cheat, they won't care. They didn't care last time. They want Trump gone. They want control of the Republican Party again so they can go to war with Iran. Are we going to support them if they win? I don't feel like it. You know, and my thing has always been, well, you get a little bit of what you want. I feel like I'm tired of being drug around by them. I said, just blow the whole system up. I don't know. I don't mean literally blow it up. I mean, let them lose. I don't care now. They didn't hold their nose and vote for Trump in 2016. And they didn't do it in 2020 either. They supported the other side. That shows you they don't really believe in what they say they believe in. I don't really know what they believe. I guess they believe in their faction. What else could it be? The fact that Trump comes out in 2016 and says all of this stuff that is everything we agree with. Basically, he was Rush Limbaugh. And they hate him. That means they don't really believe in the issues. They just say whatever they have to say to get into power, just like Romney. Romney's a complete joke. He doesn't know what he believes, I don't think. He just hates Trump. It's like the rich kids in high school. Everyone knows they're like lightweights. They're a joke, but they're loud mouths and they're good looking and they're super confident. And so everybody just kind of like, eh, whatever. They have a nice car. That's what this is like. All right, well, that was my big idea about the DC faction. Maybe it's not that original, but I kind of thought it was original. Thank you for listening.